Oh, kia ora and hi everybody. It's good to be here tonight. I've missed you all. I needed a little bit of time away from my broadcasts just to kind of get back together. I'm down in Auckland working on the editorial and the editing for the documentary. Got some great, exciting updates for that. But kia ora tātou, e ho mā. Welcome to you all. Good evening. And I hope you are all doing very, very well out there. Thank you for your messages of support and concern as well. Sister Kylie, it's always good to see you here, and all of you. I'll tell you what, it's kind of like, it's weird. I did go live yesterday on Telegram. I did my early show, and again, I was set up ready to go live, but just could not pull it together to go live at 7:30 for the Major Dipole Last Day Events News. It's been a difficult few days. I haven't, I haven't really coped too well. Since hearing about Rashid's death, and there's a whole lot of different reasons for that. Most of course, because he was a brother in the fight. He was a friend, and and it's someone that was very, very generous with his time with me, and it's just terrible. I still can't get over it. I'm gonna play one of his articles tonight, but it's been a terrible few days, and just watching it all go down, like even today, because I surfcast, if you like, the the media articles, and there's a media article, stuff.com.nz, doing an article about Rashid, and these are people that have just got no integrity. They've got no spirit, no heart, no decency to them. They're filthy. They truly are. The more and more I learn about mainstream media, especially the mainstream media in New Zealand, the more I'm absolutely horrified. I mean, even if some lefty person dropped dead tomorrow, would I be celebrating that? No, because it's another soul that Jesus died for, and so no, I wouldn't be celebrating that and jumping up and down and seeing it as an opportunity to kick them while they're down and out. There's just no way I would do that. But I think if anything, it just confirms the level of, or the lack of, humanity that these people have, in honesty, integrity, decency, kindness. And I don't think we're being judgmental saying that, do you? I think it's really just observational. We are not being judgmental, because we've all fallen short of the glory of God, but it's really a case of looking at this behavior and going, gee, you guys are just indecent, and that's who they are. And we're going to be exposing this in this documentary. I'm almost tempted to show you some stuff, but I'm going to resist, because I'm like a little kid waiting for Christmas so I can get my presents, or it's my birthday and I'm waiting for my gifts. I'm like that with this documentary. And we have been at it for hours and hours and hours and hours. And I'm going to have a late night tonight reviewing footage, putting it together, stitching episode one together. I've got my co-editor over here. We've just been so busy. We've got a whole new workstation in front of me that you can't see. And just, we're going for it. We are going for it. And again, we are such a tiny, tiny team of people, like literally three core people, four people, plus one other who helps us with some of the marketing, design work and things like that, Sister Lorraine. And we are tiny, but the content of what we got, whānau, I just want to assure you, I'm blown away by it, and I did the interviews, and I'm praying with all my heart that you will be able to use this resource as a resource to educate people and wake them the heck up, because it's serious now. We hear these stories, these conspiratorial kind of like stories that I'm sure that conspiracy agents put out there. I mean, agents of the government, because what you get, and this has been proven time and time and time and time again, COINTEL, or counterintelligence type work where you've got a government narrative, you've got people against it. So what does the government do? They deploy their agents to disrupt the dissident voice. And that's what's wrong with the freedom movement. The freedom movement in New Zealand, as in other places around the world, is completely fractured. Why? Because it's been infiltrated by actors within the movement that are not here for the movement. They're not here for you or me. They're not here to do anything other than create disruption with our fight for truth, freedom, civil liberties, and accountability. And that's the big problem here. And we're going to come face to face with that unless we get organized, especially these little freedom parties. Now, what I was saying during my Telegram broadcast yesterday, and it was really good. We had Lillian ring in, we had JH ring in, we had different people ring in about their thoughts about who's who in the zoo for the minor parties. And I've got to be honest, I'm just thinking through and recalling what I said yesterday. I don't have any confidence in any of them in the minor Freedom Party movement. I really, really, truly don't. I don't think any of them have got a firm grasp on the core issues. I don't believe they have. I believe they got bits and pieces of it, but I don't believe they've got it all. I don't believe they really understand and get it. But one thing I did say yesterday, and I'm going to say it again here, is that one of the people that I believe has got her heart completely right in the freedom movement, and I've only had maybe 5 engagements with her, and that is Donna Porkeri Phillips from the Freedom and Outdoors Party. Now, she's ex-Pāti Māori, and so she woke up to realise that wasn't going to be working for her because she saw her own party mates pushing the jab on our own... There you go, just had a little bit of an interference there. All right, guys, that's how it goes with me. I get interfered with, and I can't explain why, because I'm in the middle of the city. I've got a great signal here, so please excuse that signal interference then. But, you know, Donna Porkeri Phillips, the time that I have spoken with her and I have seen her at work, I really believe she's genuine. I really do. I think she's beautifully motivated for the right reasons. I don't think she's after, maniacal party power or anything like that. I think she's there for the right reasons. I think maybe some of the others that are there have got part of it, but I don't think they've got all of it. And, you know, I've met some of these people, and I've had conversations with them. I've had conversations with Matt. I've had conversations, well, with all of them, really. Some of them not for a while now, but I want to see authenticity. I don't want to see somebody giving you or me a political line. I don't want to see that. I'm sick of politicians, aren't you? Didn't I say that in 2020? That I couldn't believe I was a politician because I don't like them and I don't trust them. And but again, Donna would probably break the mold of my thinking there. But there'd be very, very, very few others that I would trust at all. Look at National Party. You've got a couple of people in there that call themselves Christians. You've got Simeon Brown, Simon O'Connor. But they haven't done anything. They haven't spoken up about anything. Really, you've got Simon O'Connor, who was probably got told to pull his head in because he's gone very, very quiet all of a sudden. And but no one has got the guff to sort of call it the way it is. Now, that would be a good time to introduce this clip that I began to play the other night, but it was too much. I didn't get all the way through it, and it was because it was probably a bit too soon. But I want to play you some of this of Russia. This is not a tribute show to Russia tonight. I just want to play this article because I didn't play all of it. I played a bit of it the other night, but I want to play this one, and I just want to have a look at this, because this is someone with passion speaking.
It's not going to be from COVID-19. It's not going to be from H1N1. It's not going to be from Zika. It's not going to be from any of these other...
Let's just go back a bit. I'm just going
to
do that.
To the COVID-19. Fauci, in 2017, he was documented at Georgetown University saying that there will be a pandemic that this presidency will face, that this term will face. How did he know that in 2017 that something was going to happen in 2018, 19, or 2020? There is no virus bacteria that jumped 13 feet. It's just, it defies every logical aspect of science and medicine. And what really, really pisses me off is that there are thousands, tens of thousands of doctors and scientists out there that know that this is a fraud and they're not saying anything. For God's sake, this is changing the planet, and every scientist and every doctor that knows this to be a facade needs to open their mouth and speak. People need to wake up and realize there is a massive criminal component to this. They're pushing this agenda for a vaccine. Why? All the projected deaths from COVID-19, it's not going to be from COVID-19, it's not going to be from H1N1, it's not going to be from Zika, it's not going to be from any of these other issues, it's going to be from the damn vaccines.
Isn't that amazing? So he was saying that in, well, April, clearly, because this is another reference. He was onto it.
Mr. President, U.S. intelligence is saying this week that the coronavirus likely came from a level 4 lab in Wuhan. There's also another report that the NIH under the Obama administration in 2015 gave that lab $3.7 million in a grant. Why would the U.S. give a grant like that to China?
The Obama administration gave them a grant of $3.7 million. I've been hearing about that. And we've instructed that if any grants are going to that area, we're looking at it literally about an hour ago, and also early in the morning. We will end that grant very quickly, but it was granted quite a while ago. They were granted a substantial amount of money.
Whoever Dr. Fauci is in your mind, he is a government bureaucrat, and you're comparing him to Hitler, Nazis.
I am.
Who killed 6 million Jews.
I think this is good. This number is going to be higher.
You think Dr. Fauci is involved in some kind of plot to kill millions of people? I just want to make sure I understand
again,
this.
Again, Drew, I'm a reasonable person. You're asking me what I think, and I said it could be this, but I can tell you that Dr. Fauci is not an innocent bystander. He's very well aware of what he's doing, and the extent of it and his involvement, I don't know. I'm not privy to that information. I think that the COVID vaccine is very effective at what it was designed for, perhaps, but it's not preventing death, certainly not.
It's not preventing death?
No. People don't die from COVID. You've already seen the data. So why are we getting a vaccine that causes more deaths than the problem itself?
6.34 billion doses of this vaccine have been given. If you're right, people be dropping dead all around this hotel.
It's not orchestrated to do that. Each vaccine has been geared up. So you can look at the ingredients of the vaccines themselves. It's all been published. We already see thousands of people dying. This Delta variant is all vaccine injury. I mean, the CDC's own data is showing that now. I don't want to be part of this mass genocide that I see happening. And I think that what's going on right now will be remembered as a worst time in history compared to what World War II happened.
You are raising doubt about a vaccine.
I hope I am, because I hope more people take heed of the warning that is necessary.
You think I'm vaccinated, right? You think I have a time bomb in me and I'm going to die?
Well, I hope not, but I'll be happy to meet you in 3 years and then see how you're doing.
But you think that's possible?
I think that it's probable.
I mean, I don't even know where to begin with this guy, but how I'm stunned that he still has a license. But I mean, this is just incredible, the stuff that this guy is saying.
This guy is disinforming patients he doesn't even know or meet, and that is the problem. People sitting at home on the internet believing that this guy, who very much reminds me, Anderson, of that pillow guy, who's looking at basic facts and so misinterpreting them that it's hard to believe, but he is doing it in such a way that he's telling these people and convincing them not to get a life-saving vaccine.
We have some stunningly heartbreaking news to share with you this morning, that our colleague, our friend, and truly distinguished CNN journalist Drew Griffin passed away in the last 24 hours.
Now, isn't that incredible? Now, he said to that, and you heard it yourselves, that, you know, this guy's double jabbed, and just a few months later, he wakes up dead. And he warned him, and he said to him, you know, and the thing is that anchor actually said to you know, challenges Rashid and says to him, you know, do you really think that I'm in danger? You know, and he said, well, let's see what you know, where you are in 3 years time from now. Now, unfortunately, my brother, or our brother Rashid, is dead now as well. But did he have it figured out? I think he did. Let's have another look.
There's breaking news just 2 days after we learned of the Department of Energy's admittedly low confidence assessment that the COVID pandemic began with a lab leak in Wuhan, China. Tonight on Fox, FBI Director Christopher Wray publicly acknowledged the FBI believes it too, both with what sounds like higher confidence.
Well, we are 3 years into the COVID-19 pandemic and we are finally getting somewhere on how this came to be. FBI Director Christopher Wray said the pandemic was likely caused by a lab leak in Wuhan, China. Now, this has always been a theory, but...
All right, so you're getting the drift here. So he's saying very, very, very clearly what the issues were. And you've got the mainstream media, you've got the mainstream media talking about, you know, the certainty, you know, that guy Anderson Cooper. I mean, he's just awful, that guy. You know, these guys, bear in mind, they get paid millions upon millions of millions of dollars a year. They get to do this anchor job. And Anderson Cooper, of course, would get his little bonuses and all those things. But the point is, Rashid was onto it. He was onto it. Now, one of the things that also has irritated me today is the amount of people jumping on about Rashid dying. Now, I think what we've got to do now, and I'm still affected by it, and I just played that because I wanted to finish off what I started the other night. I didn't finish off playing that segment. But what Rashid would want us to do is to pull up our socks, take a deep breath, and keep pushing forward. He was an army man. He may have been a medical doctor, but he was an army man. You know, 101st Airborne. 101st Airborne. You know, I mean, which is a ranger, a paratrooping regiment. I mean, you know, he was no pushover. And he would be saying, make it happen, make accountability happen, spread the word, spread the news, get the data out there, keep pushing it, go on, Billy, finish the documentary, get it the heck out there. And well, he'd probably say, yeah, don't forget to dedicate it to me. Because he was like that. But, you know, it's time that we honor our brother Rashid and push forward. And I'm telling myself this. I mean, all day long I've been looking at material for the documentary, and in the back of my mind I'm thinking to myself, right, Rashid, this documentary is going to get closer and closer every hour I'm working on this, closer and closer and closer to proving to the rest of the world that you were bang on. And that is the best way I can honor him. And, you know, I've been speaking to American friends about his passing, and, you know, people are going bananas over in the States over it. And I'm just lucky I heard about it pretty early. So I'm kind of pushing through it. But it's still difficult. I've got to edit his interview. I was looking at some of the stuff today that we've got in our footage envelopes and folders. And it's not easy. He was a man that I did greatly admire. I still admire him. Moi mai rai, te rangatira. Sleep well. All right, now, going back in time a wee bit, I found something as well. And this is me in Wellington. Now, I want to talk about a little bit of these. I've got a few articles lined up. Okay, we'll get to those in a minute. But I found this today, and I want to remind us about this. I want to remind us about what I said. Now, I remember when I came out and I showed, well, actually before I showed, I said to everybody, I've been given military documents quietly. Military documents have been sent to me that outline a top secret operation at that time, because these were orders that weren't declared, called Operation Protect, which was a New Zealand Defence Force operations plan and document about how NZDF personnel would be deployed into enforcement roles. Now, I've shown you guys that many, many times. It'll be in the documentary, and we'll we'll get all of that squared away. But I remember at the time, people were saying, well, you're a nut job. I put this out, this comment out, because this was the day I'd gone down to support Sue Gray at her 5G submission at Parliament. Now, this is before things turned to custard with Sue and with Alan Simmons and that. They got very nasty with me when I said I wouldn't go into the outdoors party. They did. They got very, very blinking untidy. But I was supporting them. I was down there, and I had a speaking engagement that night, which was just fantastic. But I'm talking about the announcement of Commodore Webb taking over the management of MIQ detention centres. And I just want to have a look at this, because this is kind of like this is history now. Let's have a look. Labor MPs at the meeting that we attended this afternoon, the example of contempt that they have for ordinary New Zealanders has got me really, really, really angry, frankly. I had a bee in my bonnet anyway, as many of you have seen me speak and been to my public presentations know that I care deeply and I'm passionate and that I was concerned. Now I'm really angry. They have such contempt for us New Zealanders. I can't believe it. Now, the other thing that greatly concerns me is that it's been announced today, and we knew this a few days ago, but I couldn't announce it to you guys, is that Jacinda Ardern's government has announced that the quarantine management has been taken out of the hands of the police and given to the military. This is military law. Please absorb this. This is not North Korea. This is not China. This is not Soviet Russia. This is New Zealand, Aotearoa. This is our Kiwi land, and she has signed off on a decree that means the military can now enter your home as soldiers. Now, I've been a soldier. You know, you guys know this. And the idea of being a soldier and deployed to go into the homes of New Zealanders would never have crossed my mind 18 years ago. This is now a reality. This is what this government is doing to us. And are we going to sleep through this? No, we're not. We're not going to do that, whānau. We're not going to roll over this time. We need to wake up, New Zealanders. We need to wake up. We need to wake up, everyone. People don't really understand yet what's happening. Frogs don't understand that they're boiling to death in the pot until their skin drops off them. And this is what they're doing to us. They are boiling us alive, and many don't even know it. You're going to need to share this, because this is worrying. This government is tyrannical. Jacinda Ardern is not a smiling, lovely, young Kiwi lady that we would all wish she was. You need to please take this on board. I'm calm, I'm collected, I'm factual, but I'm freaking angry, because this should not be happening in our beautiful fair land. All right, so what happened after that is essentially we were starting to go viral. We were starting to, of course, gain real, real traction for the party. And then I linked up with Jamie Lee Ross. But what I was saying back then was that, and this is when, you know, all the trolls came out, even people in the freedom movement were calling me a nut job, when I said that the documents that I was given had shown that the New Zealand Army would be used in roadblocks. New Zealand Defence Force personnel will be used in roadblocks, they'll be used in intelligence gathering, they'll be used in enforcement with police, all of those sorts of things, setting up temporary morgues. This is how far this rot of a narrative went about COVID-19. It went deep into every government agency that would end up playing a role in the COVID-19 response by the government. And it permeated all throughout all of the government agencies into the NZDF. And what did we see? What did we end up seeing? We ended up seeing Defence Force personnel manning roadblocks. You know, we had them North Auckland, south of Auckland, and it was just unbelievable, wasn't it? It was just literally unbelievable that happened. But the thing is this, and we never ever got to this. They didn't go that far into it, but they could have easily have used Defence Force personnel to come on to your property and take you away for a test or a medical procedure. Now, the reason why I said it was under military law back then, because what happens is there's a threshold when especially in times of war and great civil emergencies, where the military will be given authority to enforcement roles, right? And that means the civilian police end up working with the military police, under the military police, in fact. And you've got armed forces law, you've got military law, and all of these become important and take over the jurisdictional issues of it. I mean, police and army, especially the military police with the New Zealand Army, work closely together at times. Anyway, Wairu is a very, very good example of that, where you will have New Zealand Army military police attend serious road crashes on Desert Road. And so that's not uncommon. But the problem is if they suddenly declare a situation where the military has this power, then your civil liberties, I believe my understanding, fall into a completely different paradigm. I don't understand how the Bill of Rights would fit into that. Because as we've seen over the last almost 3 years, they're trying to make out that the Bill of Rights means nothing. Human Rights Act means nothing. But you know what? As I go through this documentary that we're doing, I'm learning a lot more and being reminded about how the power of us as citizens is there for the taking, but we have to believe it, take it up, and we need to act on it. Now, Ricardo Bossi said this to me a couple of years ago. He said, look, you know, it doesn't make any difference if you turn up to Parliament to protest with 10,000 people. It doesn't matter if you've got 20,000 people. It doesn't matter if you've got 100,000 people turning up. But they will certainly take notice if you turn up with 1 million people on the steps of Parliament. And that's where we are at. Is there 20% of New Zealand that is prepared to go and fight these people in Parliament? Now, the sad thing is, there are 120-odd MPs in the House of Representatives. And it appears to me that those who are smart enough to know what's going on are corrupt. And all the rest are just too thick and don't want to know. And I really believe that. I think you've got the elite that know what's going on within Parliament, and they know the corruptions, and they keep quiet. And I probably believe that Winston would know where a lot of skeletons are in the closets down at the Beehive. I betcha. But he didn't talk about them, did he? He didn't stand there on behind a pulpit and say, right, New Zealand, you're getting ripped off. You know, this is what's happening. No. And you cannot tell me in 40 years of being down there, he doesn't know of some of the crimes. Now, the fact is now we don't have one MP that has been prepared to stand up and say, enough, already finished. Our country's been sold out from underneath us, and we've got the World Health Organization trying to take over through the international health regulations, which lead on to the Global Pandemic Preparedness Treaty, which will be integrated with climate change issues. Goodbye, freedom as we know it. That's what's happening. The Bible tells us that's what's going to happen. It has to happen, and it's going to come. And what I would think, though, in New Zealand, is that have we got enough concern? Have we got enough mana? Have we got enough, forthrightness, belief to actually try and slow this down? And that's all my job was in 2020. I wanted to try and get into Parliament to slow it down, dismantle this corrupt system from within with God's help, and to be a voice for you. That was all I wanted. That was all I wanted. It didn't happen. And so now, you know, I actually thank God it didn't happen, because now I can see things so much clearer than what I did in 2020. But we've got these people that are in Parliament, they're deeply corrupted, and they're not intending to slow down. Now, what are they going to do now when the COVID-19 Public Health Response Act expires? There is no emergency. World Health Organization, what have they said? no more emergency. What about the United States? End of a national emergency. Okay, New Zealand, we don't have 330 odd million people in our country. We've got less than 5 million, and that figure is dropping, ladies and gentlemen. Go and have a look at the numbers of New Zealand. We're not growing, we're going back the other way. Now, I had breakfast today with a dear friend of mine who's someone I greatly admire and respect. He's a scientist, and you guys will know who he is, but I'm not going to mention his name here. I greatly admire him. He was one of the three that educated me and woke me up early in 2020, and that was Rashid Buttar, John Ioannidis, and this other man that you've heard me mention maybe before. And he was telling me, look, you know, that the overall all-cause mortality, you know, 1 minute you're cruising along 2015, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, broop, like that, and then like this, then like that. And he said, it stands out like anything that we've had so many deaths. What are we now? We're in May 2023. Well, when did it all begin? When did it all begin in New Zealand? About March 2021? Is that when it started to be tested and rolled out? I think so. And when did we get the big batches? I think we know that as well, don't we? And that is why I was able to figure out in May in 21 that they were going to lock us down in August, because they had already told us that they were hoping that the Pfizer injections in the bulk order would arrive sometime in mid to late July in 2021. So put the thinking cap on and thought, right, these guys are going to lock us down. They're going to use the lockdown to force the jab onto everyone, and they'll use that classic line. You want things to go back to normal? You want your rights and freedoms? What did Ardern say? If you don't get your jab, you don't have your rights and freedoms. Remember that? And she's going to use that as the gun against the head to force us all into taking this jab. But this is the interesting thing. I'm just going to bring up this article here, because this really smokes my nostrils. You've got this article, which I covered in my Telegram report. You've got this. What does it say here? All right, let's just reduce that a bit more. Immunization experts concerned at low uptake of Omicron booster. Why should they be concerned? Why should they be concerned about that? Why? Because, you know, why is that? Because their information, WHO information, tells everybody, tells the world at high-pitched volume that if you don't have comorbidity, and if you're not seriously unwell, if you come into contact with this virus, so-called, and I always do that because, you know, I don't believe personally, my own personal belief, I don't believe that they've isolated, therefore, how can they prove it exists, right? Now, my dear friend that I had breakfast with this morning said, well, Billy, they've kind of done a little bit of this and symptoms and that, but I actually said to him, and he's the scientist, I said, well, hold on a second, and we had a really good discussion about it. And so he says, well, yeah, actually, you're right. You know, they haven't. I've seen even a good freedom-fighting friend of mine, he's a very smart man, thinks that it's all out there and that it exists. I don't believe that. But that's not the issue. That's not the issue in the documentary. We don't go near that, because the issue is, what is the consequence of the concept of this so-called disease? You know, how did the PCR test feature in this? How did the injection feature in this? How did it contribute to the entire world getting prepped and prepared to accept the International Health Regulations Amendments and therefore the Global Pandemic Preparedness Treaty? All right, so they're now saying that they're concerned that no one's taken it up. Now, I want you to have a listen to this, because this is, you know, this is a bit of a crack up, really, but have a listen to this lady, and we'll go from there. Let's have a listen. In fact, what I might need to do is do that. Let's click on that again. See if that's going to work. There we go. Alrighty, let's hit the go on that.
There's a distinct lack of urgency to get the latest COVID booster, and experts say that needs to change. The updated Omicron-targeted vaccine has been available for those over 30 since the start of April. Dr. Nikki Turner, Medical Director of the Immunisation Advisory Centre, believes there are a range of reasons why uptake has been slow.
Well, there's a range of reasons, and I think the most obvious is that we've just lived through a major pandemic where everybody was freaked out about COVID, and people are over it now. So when you say, look, this bug is still there, it still causes a lot of hospitalizations and death.
Right, so that's lie number one, and then she contradicts herself, and we'll prove it in a second.
I think people are just feeling we've been there, done that, and we've moved on. You know, it's a bit like flu. You forget what an important disease it still is in our community. So I think that's the main reason.
All right. So now she's introduced the issue of the winter flu, of the seasonal flu, and in the same breath after saying, you know, how deadly, COVID is, it's still a big problem. You know, it's just like the flu, it's still a major problem. But the thing is, the flu is bad for people who are unwell already, isn't it? Like my dear mum and others like her that have got serious respiratory diseases, any disease of a respiratory nature could kill them. But will it kill you and me? No. Not even as a type 2 diabetic am I even worried about it? I had it last year for about 2-3 days, and I was on my feet, out the door working, with the dregs of it. So it didn't do anything to me.
There's a whole lot of other reasons as well. I think we've got a bit of a polarized community. There's a lot of anti-vaccination in the media.
Anti-vaccination in the media. So she's got that wrong. It's not in the media. Now, one of the things that we're talking about in the documentary is the failure of mainstream media to even adequately report the CALM, the Center for Adverse Events Reporting and Management Center.
Social media, some people feel very damaged by living through that mandates period in our history.
And then she just speaks through it like it means nothing. The mandate history, it's terrible. Those mandates destroyed people's careers, lives, marriages, lost homes, people ended their lives and committed suicide, Professor Nikki Turner. Do you care about that?
And there's some systems issues about just getting out and making sure you can get a vaccine. And I think there's confusion about what the vaccine's trying to achieve.
Now, listen to this beauty. Pay attention to this, because there is no confusion in my mind what a vaccine is meant to do. It's meant to stop you from getting the so-called disease you are vaccinated against, and it's meant to be safe. Has it done that? No, it hasn't. It hasn't. It's out of the bag, baby.
So who is it most effective for? Because we've changed as we've moved through this pandemic. It's sometimes hard to take people with us on the messaging.
Well, let's get to the point. Why should people get this new booster?
Yeah, well, they should get the new booster because still a lot of people are at risk of COVID disease, particularly older people. You know, older people are.
Now, that is the first honest thing she said. And this is exactly what Bill Gates said. It's what everyone around the world is saying. This is the most at-risk community is the elderly and those with comorbidity. So that's the first thing in this interview that she said is at least partly honest.
40 times more likely to end up in hospital than younger people, much more likely to die. Unvaccinated people are much more likely to end up in hospital. People with medical conditions. So even if you've had COVID...
She's lying again, that unvaccinated people are most likely to end up in hospital. That's completely the opposite, because what we've seen now is that vaccinated people have compromised immune systems, and they're the ones that are succumbing to it.
Even if you've had 3 vaccines to date, you're still at risk of COVID for many people.
Okay, so there is an admittal there. You can have 3 injections, but you're still at risk of COVID because the thing doesn't work.
But not so much for everybody now. It's targeting to those who are at higher risk.
Okay, so now she kind of takes a step back and says it's targeted at those that are at high risk.
Can we just go over the details around who exactly is at higher risk right now?
Yeah, so it's sort of fairly similar to flu now, that most of New Zealand
There you go.
Now has some degree of immune protection.
and it's not from vaccines.
And for younger and healthier people now, if they get COVID, particularly those who have already had their primary course of vaccination, they're pretty well protected from severe disease. They'll still get it, and you still might be really lousy, but less likely to get really bad disease.
See, what can you say? She's now telling you, yeah, you'll still get it. That's not what vaccines are meant to do. You're meant to be vaccinated against it. Isn't that right?
Older people and people with medical issues that affect their immune system are still at really high risk of bad COVID, even if you've had COVID and even when you've had your primary course of 3 or 4 vaccines.
Nikki, can you just take us through why the immunity that we get from a vaccine is better than the immunity that we have from being infected?
Yeah, so the immunity from a vaccine is not better than the immunity from infection. But when you have a vaccine, you're not going to get sick from COVID.
See? Okay. All right. So have you had enough of it already? I'm sorry, Professor Nikki Turner, but you appear to be someone that's untrustworthy. I'm sorry. She's just said, she's just contradicted the last couple of minutes of what she was saying. Let's let her finish this.
So the immune system works in the same way. It recognizes the disease and creates antibodies and T-cell immunity. Same for a vaccine. Vaccine immunity is not that long-lived. It does drop away, and that's why you need boosters. But we know with COVID that the same with having COVID disease, you can get it again and again. So vaccine immunity is not better. Vaccine immunity works in a similar way to protect us, but it does wane, and you need boosters.
And this is where she exposes herself as being a fraud, because your immune system that God built in your in our beautifully, wonderfully made bodies is going to adapt. If it comes across a variant, the immunity that you have already is going to recognize something in this variant, and it's not going to kill you. Most of us, 99.9%, if you're a child, 99.8 or 7 below, depending on how old you are. All right, so for most of us, I feel like I'm in the 99.99 category myself. I don't know if that's for real, but I have no fear of this disease. And yet this woman is speaking in circles to herself. Now, one of the things I want to point out is that why would I take a stern view of this woman? Well, it's because of this article in the New Zealand Herald, which points out that this beastly woman helped to influence a contract. The conflict and the COVID contract, the $16.5 million health contract, and the spousal relationship that raised red flags. A spousal relationship at the heart of the Ministry of Health's $16.5 million contract to educate the army of vaccinators to administer the new Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine raised red flags over the conflict of interest. But did it stop anything? My understanding is it didn't stop anything. They just kept on with it. So these are the people that are advising us to just trust what they say. But how the heck can we do that? I don't think we can. I think that would be stupidity. We have seen over the last 3 years, just about every reason that somebody needs to distrust this government, to distrust medical bureaucracy, where you have the medical council, the doctors' council, persecuting good doctors, trying to prosecute them, in fact, for saying they're not going along with this rubbish. They're not going to tell people it's safe when it's not. You know, this is when I get passionate, because when I'm, I was watching footage last night with my dear friend who lost his wife to the jab, and I. Of course, I remember doing the interview, but I've forgotten about how emotional it was, and I ended up having a bit of a tear in my motel room last night when I was going through the footage. And just, these people said time and time again, including that woman, Bloomfield, all of them, it's safe, absolutely safe. Susie Wiles, oh yeah, it's absolutely safe. And yet the deaths are happening, the all-cause mortality is continuing. all of these things. Why are they? We've got to ask the question. If it's all good and above the hood and all safe and transparent and honest, why are they still trying to hide information? Why are they doing that? Why are they refusing Official Information Act requests? Why was Ardern doing that? Well, I tell you what. What about this one here? This one here is really infuriating because this actually, I'm going to spend a little bit of time on this because we need to see that what's happening, because this is what's been aimed at New Zealand. Do not think it is by accident that we have a New Zealander up to her eyebrows in this stuff. Don't think it's by accident. And that we've also got Ashley Bloomfield, who we'll deal with in a minute. So Ardern and World Health Organization, Geneva Health Promotion Event. Look at this. There she is, folks. I'm so sorry to be talking like this, by the way. I don't like talking about people like this. I don't like speaking of fellow New Zealanders like this. But this woman is a criminal. She's a criminal. There's no other way of putting it. She's more of a criminal than half the gangs out there, except she flies around and gets looked after in flash cars.
We are not healthy and well until we are all healthy and well.
Let's start that again.
We are not healthy and well until we are all healthy and well.
Oh my gosh, isn't she so wise? We are not all healthy and well until we are all healthy and well. Boy, I tell you, that's why she gets paid the big bucks.
For anyone who works in health, I want to say thank you for what you have given to us, not just in the pandemic, but day in, day out.
Well, you took a lot. A lot of people didn't give, but you took it, Jacinda Ardern. Jacinda Ardern has appeared at a health promotion event as the World Health Organization began its first day of discussions at the 76th Assembly in Geneva. Now, this is not good. This is not good, family, because this is when they're going to be talking about the IHRs, the International Health Regulations. This is when they're going to be talking about the Pandemic Preparedness Treaty, the global one. This is not a good thing at all. The World Health Assembly, the decision-making arm of WHO, all unelected, all of them unelected, is meeting from May 21 to 30. It has delegates from around the world attending. Jacinda Ardern addressed the opening session yesterday and also participated in Walk the Talk, our exercise promotion event traditionally held before the World Health Assembly, a WHO spokesperson told One News. Ardern took selfies with the crowd and addressed the audience on stage, saying, "We are not healthy and well until we are all healthy and well." Ardern also delivered a speech at the opening of the assembly on Sunday. And it goes on and on and on. Let's have a little look at that in a second. But, you know, this is who she is. She's lining up for the UN job, guys.
Now it is a great pleasure to invite the former Prime Minister of New Zealand, Right Honourable Jacinda Ardern.
Kia ora koutou katoa, nga mihi nui kia koutou.
Sounds like she's got
President
COVID.
Of the World Health Assembly, Director General, Excellencies, colleagues. It is a great pleasure and honour to be here and to celebrate 75 years of this essential organisation. My name is Jacinda Ardern. I'm currently between jobs. But my last role was to hold the privileged position of being the 40th Prime Minister of New Zealand. There is much I learned from the experience, mistakes we made, things we got right. Not all of it will be relevant here, but much of it was.
Oh my gosh, this is nauseating.
That's because, like so many here, I held my role during COVID-19. There are others far more steeped in the medical science who are better placed to analyse this recent shared experience of a global pandemic. All I can reflect is just how accurate your prescribed approach is to building a healthier future.
How accurate? This is the worst bureaucratic organisation on the planet, the UN.
Science, solutions, solidarity. allow me to reflect on these very briefly. If you asked me as a Prime Minister in the midst of a pandemic who the most important people were in terms of navigating this specific illness, I would have said to you, our Director General of Health and my Chief Science Advisor. Dr. Ashley Bloomfield is known to you here at the World Health Organization, having worked here before and currently co-chairing the review of amendments to the international health regulations.
All right. Did you hear what she said just then? That he is now the co-chair of the committee that's reviewing the international health regulations. This is not good, family. This is not good, because when you see two New Zealanders up the front of the queue of authority in these organisations, you can put money on it almost safely that they're going to bring it home. They're going to bring it home. This is not good. Let's let it finish.
I count New Zealand lucky to have had a public health doctor at the helm during those times. But standing alongside him at the end of the phone for me was my chief science advisor, Dame Juliet Gerard. It's a relatively new initiative to have a chief science advisor to a prime minister in New Zealand. When I started in the role, I could absolutely see the benefit. I left seeing it more than a nice to have. I see it as a necessity. COVID will not be the only foe we face that initially fills us with questions that only science and research will answer. Having the closest possible proximity between this community and those who make public health decisions is critical.
All right, so you get the drift here. She's talking about the wonderful, wonderful Ashley Bloomfield and the other lady there. But this is the thing here. This is an article which is beautifully written, and it's about Ashley Bloomfield co-chairing the working group for the IHR amendments. Listen to this. Bloomfield denied injection exemptions to countless people who were at known risk from the jab. So as soon as you read that first line, you know you're dealing with a medical tyrant. This man who is in this amazing job, and it is, he is right at the top here. This man, Ashley Bloomfield, New Zealander, and I said this and I said it again dozens of times, that this guy had been inducted between 2010 and 11 into the WHO. He gets inducted, gets trained, comes to New Zealand, carries out his work in the MOH, Ministry of Health, delivers the tyranny and the destruction of the government's COVID-19 Public Health Response Act, completes that. Suddenly, mysteriously, without any warning, he's gone. Gone. Quits. Finished. Gets knighted and turns up with a fistful of dollars at the IHR amendment meeting at the World Health Organization, where he is promptly made number two equal in the committee for the IHR's International Health Regulations. Now, this is the guy that did not approve exemptions from the jab. He didn't want to go there. Maybe one or two, but countless, tens of thousands probably, of people were denied exemptions. And I've spoken to a lot of them. People that were sick from it, from their first jab, it just about obliterated them. They asked for permission to get exemptions, they got declined, got the second one, and now they're buggered. Or what happened was, they got declined, so they went, bugger this, and they didn't get the second jab, and they lost their jobs, lost their businesses, etc., etc. Right? And so this guy here is in an unelected role where he is going to be making decisions again, this time for the globe. Now he's heading up, it says, up a global decision-making body that is attempting to take control of national public health responses to future pandemics. What could go wrong? So whoever's written this is having a good old laugh at suggesting what could go wrong, or asking the question. Look at that. That's about right. That's right. Until today, it was unknown who this group was comprised of. Turns out that Dr. Ashley Bloomfield, New Zealand's New Zealand's former Director General of Health, is co-chair of the International Health Regulations Working Group. Kerry Molloy has previously reported that the Ministry of Health's Andrew Forsyth was a member of the review committee, which held meetings last month in Switzerland to finalise a report regarding proposed amendments to the International Health Regulations. Based on the review committee's report, the working group was then tasked with proposing a package, listen to this, of targeted amendments for adoption by the World Health Assembly, the decision-making body of the WHO. This is really, really, really serious. I'm going to explain a couple of the things in this IHR, why it's so serious. The IHR set out agreed approaches and obligations for countries to prepare for and respond to. That includes making it illegal and a prosecution offence that if you contradict any information approved by the World Health Organization, which is picked up by your government, you can be jailed if you contradict them. The proposed amendments come in response to the challenges posed by the COVID-19 pandemic. Of course it does. Of course it does. And then it just talks about it. Listen to this. The press release quoted Bloomfield. COVID-19 showed us that having a good, strong set of international health regulations is essential. I wonder why. I thought New Zealand, we were an island nation at the bottom of the world, and showed where the current regulations need to be improved. The ongoing pandemic has underscored the The ongoing pandemic? Isn't it meant to be over? Has underscored the importance of countries working together collaboratively and supporting WHO in its vital work to make the world safer. The ton of discussions and progress made during this week's meeting clearly show that countries understand the responsibility they have to ensure this process is successful. This is not good. This is not good at all. Listen to this. Let's go back one. As Molloy pointed out in her article, 1st of February, analysis identify a number of reasons why the amendments should be rejected. These reasons include loss of dignity, human rights, and fundamental freedoms. Yep, you know what? They want to remove it. Dictatorial power given to the WHO's Director General, who's of course none other than the Ethiopian terrorist. Yes, you've got it. Tedros Ghebreyesus. Dictatorial powers given to unelected regional directors of the WHO, and that's what they're going to do. They're going to have regional directors. Now, this is the UN model. This is the Agenda 2030 model, when everything is centralized by this, by the core unit, head office unit, and then they have regional leaders or officers, and then they have the national groups. The introduction of health certificates affecting freedom of movement and travel, violation of privacy, that's all of the digital surveillance platforms. Censorship, the WHO proposes to strengthen capacities to counter, listen to this, misinformation and disinformation, like apparently I'm talking to you about tonight. Isn't it amazing? The fact that it's co-chaired by Bloomfield is significant for New Zealanders all year and should set off alarm bells, and it does. He led one of the most draconian responses to the COVID situation globally and was knighted for it. Can you believe this? This is what they're doing, folks. This is what they're doing. And that guy, and believe me, I wish I wasn't right. But I caught it. I said, you wait. You absolutely wait. This is coming. And it is coming. And this is wicked. It's absolutely wicked. And we've got these Kiwis that are in the front of it. Right, let's have a look at this article here. This is from Australia. This is absolutely from Australia, this one. Have a look at this horrifying story, but it should at the same time remind us that there are things that are positive that are happening at the moment. It's not all dark.
An Upper Coomera mum says she's alive but not living, suffering a string of COVID vaccine-induced illnesses. Frances White now joining a class action to seek compensation from the federal government.
Frances White is fighting a crippling medical battle triggered by the very thing supposed to prevent the 48-year-old from getting sick.
I had the first dose of Pfizer on the 8th of August 2021.
Later diagnosed with vaccine-induced pericarditis and a string of other illnesses.
Chest pain, worse on breathing, they can get shortness of breath, they can be fatigued.
The previously perfectly healthy mother of four can no longer work. She spent tens of thousands on treatments.
I've, you know, written letters to all my children. I've explained to my husband what to do for my funeral.
Frances isn't an anti-vaxxer. She chose to protect herself from COVID, but she says she and thousands of other Australians are now dealing with this debilitating illness and there's little help available.
Nobody knows what to do with us. Nobody knows what's wrong with us.
Now joining a class action seeking compensation from the federal government for negligence.
And as a community, we have to pick up, you know, all of this carnage that the pandemic has left in its wake.
Abby Guerin,
and she's a very brave woman, that doctor.
Gold Coast News.
All right, so that's Channel 9 News there. That's as mainstream media as you can get. That's as, you know, that's like One News putting something on, which they'll never do because they're not honest. And so you've got them talking about these issues, and it's happening all around the world now. You've got class action suits being taken. You've got the, you know, in America, the vaccine mandates scrapped, and now they're compensating workers that have lost their jobs. They're rewarding them. They're giving them their jobs back. They're getting money. They're getting compensated. They're getting acknowledged. They're getting apologized to, but not here in New Zealand. And this is the thing, is that you've got on the left hand side in the red team, you've got them all on board with this, and they instrumented and implemented the setup for what's about to come down the pipeline at us. Then on the blue team, the opposition so-called, you've got Christopher Luxon, who's gone so far to say that if you don't get your jabs, you don't get your pension, you don't get your benefit, you don't get your welfare, and you don't get to participate. So is there any difference between the two of them? No. And that's why I got a cringe when I see emails from Groundswell and other things like it. I mean, Matt King was in the South Island the other day talking about how great National is. They're not great. They're not great at all. Now, he's Christopher Luxon is talking about fixing the economy, so he's hoping to sail in into Parliament based on a platform of we will fix the economy, you'll get more money, we'll get out of debt, and you know, you'll just be peachy. But that's the same thing as saying get your jab and you'll be right, isn't it? Isn't it just a slightly different mechanism? The principle's the same. They say you do this, you get that. Isn't that fair? And these people are intending to take it all of the way. And one of the things that always amazes me is this. This is from 2020. And what is it? It is the live simulation exercise to prepare public and private leaders for pandemic response. But when was this written? Look at the date there. Look at the date there. When was it written? 15th of October. Here it is, I'll highlight it. There it is, published 15th of October 2019, around about the same time as what? Event 201. And what did you have happen about 18 months before then? Just as my brother Rashid was saying. There you go, Event 201 right there. This is not conspiracy language. And what have you got here? You've got the World Economic Forum setting this all up and saying, this is what's happening. Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, World Economic Forum, are all on it. And it's that same Bill Gates that influences and tells the UN and the WHO what they're going to be doing. But this is my beef, is that when you see the documentary, you're going to see all these connections that we will highlight, because it's just not right. We are seeing examples of the most highest level corruption you can think of. And we cannot sleep through it You know, like I said in 2020, we cannot sleep through this. But do we get all bent and twisted, lose our cool and think about doing stupid things? No, we've got to think about this better. We've got to think about this, number one, get our lives right with God. That's got to be number one. Number two, build our trust, prepare, decamp from the system, divest ourselves of it. Because these people, if they get their way, and it's coming, they're going to put as many needles in your arm as it will take to kill you. That's as good as I can put it. Because I tell you what, I've even got people that have been involved in this documentary that started off life without agreeing with me in any of this. But they certainly do now because they've been involved in the whole aspect of helping me to unpack all the data, all the interviews and everything. And it's so blinking clear. And it's a shock for people, and that's why I want to tell you, again, the truth is coming. Just be patient a little bit longer. I'm going to be working late tonight, but it needs to happen, and don't worry, we know it does. And I think you're going to be proud. I think you're going to be saddened. I think you're going to be, I think you're going to have righteous anger. I think you're going to be furious. I think you're going to be astounded. But I also think that you're going to demand justice. And I think that's where the rubber hits the road. All right, family, I've taken you well over the hour point. So just again, I don't have my bank account up yet, my new one. I've got a new one. But if you would like to donate to me, you can go to Give, Send and Go. And our brother Glenn Meader set up for me, helped me with. This is the free Pastor Billy. Don't you love it, the way how they call it? And this is to help me with my legal fees and bits and pieces. I will get an account up in time for tomorrow night. And because, please, I just want to remind you, if you are currently donating to the account that I normally have, please make sure that you don't donate in there past tomorrow night. I think that's it, because my account closes on Friday the 26th. So thank you again always for your support. Please keep the peace in your spirit. I've been at it all day, so all of this is top of mind for me. This stuff is coming, and when we unpack it together calmly through the documentary, you're going to have a resource that you can use to wake people up. To wake people up so that we can stand together side by side and deal with this. And as June just said, can't shock us anymore, it's just evil. And that's the point. Because it's not shocking to us anymore, we're going to just sit back and lay back and go, oh, well, you know, like this. But education is going to be a part of our defense strategy with this. After that, it's mitigation. How do we mitigate it? And then, you know, and then we'll go step by step after that. I think that's really important. And we've got to know that A, God's in charge, but B, this system is corrupt to the core. There is no contending with it, you know, and that's what I'm waiting to see. I'm waiting to see that the minor parties will wake up to themselves, that they'll come together. All of them will come together, right, for the sake of winning the vote to get some MPs in there. But they've got to know that the system is corrupt and it's got to be done away with. They've got to go in there, fight like mad to change the system, to get rid of all of the international treaties and all those important things. But this is the thing. I tried it in 2020. I spoke to every minor political party and they wouldn't do it, citing, oh, it's too big for my britches. You know what? I only wanted to serve the people, but I didn't want to let people that I considered that weren't onto it, that didn't have a grasp of it, to dictate to me what they thought I needed to do. Because I knew what needed to happen. At the end of the day, we didn't get into Parliament to do it. So I want to encourage you, if you know these people in these minor parties, tell them to get over themselves. But first of all, see what their policies are. Because at the moment, I'm not seeing a lot of, or hearing a lot of talk about policies other than, you know, the freedom people, well, it's about freedom. Yeah, but it's so much more than that. Sorry guys, just had another lag there, but I'm back. So again, we need to somehow encourage these people in these minor parties to pull up their socks, get their policies sorted out, realize that the system is corrupt in the core, develop a plan on how they're going to deal with that, what they're going to do about it, listen to the people, and then work together, drop their egos, and let everybody have a chance to get in, I tell you. And you know what, in the last few days I've been getting lots of people asking me to get involved with that and to stand as a politician again. If I thought I would change something for you in that political environment, I'd do it in a heartbeat for you. I would totally do it, but I don't believe I can. And it's best that I work where I'm going to be working so that I can serve you and God in the best way that I believe I know how to. All right, family, don't forget to keep Rashid Sfano in your prayers and in your thoughts. Please keep me in yours as well. And like you guys are always in mine. I will see you tomorrow night at 7:30 on the Major Dykel Last Day Events News. And I want to talk more about our Magic Dykel promotions that we've got coming up as well, which we want to be a part of, and really, really, really looking forward to getting this documentary done. Please help us to do it. If you can support us, please donate. Go to riveroflies.co.nz, riveroflies.co.nz, and please support us to keep going. Because you know what? We've been doing it on less than a smell and a promise of an oily rag. But I think you're going to be proud of what we're going to be delivering. All right, whānau, do take care. Keep the peace in your spirit. Let the love flow and seek God while there is time. Good night, everybody. Do take care and pō mārie.